verses of this chapter. And let us seek the Lord's blessing as we come to His Word. O Lord our God, as we open Your holy Word, we pray that You would make it clear to us this morning, that You would open our hearts to see and to respond in faith to the truth of Your Word, and that You would bless us by Your Spirit as we seek to apply Your Word in our daily lives. Guide us now and open Your Word to us by Your Spirit. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. And Jesus has been, of course, in the house. He's been speaking. His mother and his brothers had come in the chapter just before. He speaks and says, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother," in verse 50 of chapter 12. And now we go on. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears they can barely hear. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May God bless His holy word as we look to it this morning. As Jesus proclaimed the truth about God to the people who gathered to hear Him, He often spoke in parables, using stories He told to teach about Himself and about His kingdom. The first of these is the parable of the sower, which we'll consider today. And since this was not the most direct way to present the fact about Christ and His kingdom. And since many in the crowds seemed to not understand what Jesus was trying to teach, His disciples asked Him why He so often spoke that way. And as we consider this parable of the sower, we'll also look at Jesus' response to His disciples' question. And so first we want to look at the sower, the seed, and the soil. Now Jesus is the sower. And Jesus uses a very familiar illustration as He speaks to the people. Seed was sown, of course, by hand in Jesus' day. They didn't have big farm equipment that would go and see the whole large field in short period of time, but they would have a sack of seed. It would be tied around their shoulder, and they'd carry it, and they'd pull out some seed and throw it here and there, and wherever it landed, that's where it would grow. And of course, the farmer, after a while, would know how to do that so that it wouldn't all fall in one place, like it probably would if I did it. And the majority of the seed would fall in the field where the farmer intended. But some would also fall elsewhere. And the people Jesus was speaking to would have seen the results that He mentioned here many times. So this was a familiar sight to the people of Israel. It wasn't something strange for you and I, unless you grew up on a farm where they sowed the seed by hand. It might not make a whole lot of sense. But to the people in Jesus' day, that was a very common thing. It might be a little experiment for our kids to try. Try taking some seed and putting some on the driveway and some on a little soil that has some rocks under it, not very much soil. And it'd be a little tricky getting it in the thorns, but then plant some in some good soil and see what happens. And maybe you could understand that a little bit better doing that. Now, Jesus doesn't specifically say in this parable that He is the sower, when He explains another parable in chapter 13, verse 37, talking about the parable of the weeds, he speaks there and he says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." And so we can infer from that, as He speaks in these parables, that He certainly is the sower speaking here. And His disciples are called upon to continue that sowing after Jesus departs. And if you remember some verses in Matthew 28, beginning at the end there, Jesus called the disciples to the mountain. Jesus said to them, verse 18, "All authority in heaven and earth and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." And in Mark chapter 16, at the end of verses 15 and 16, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And so Jesus is setting an example. He's speaking of of what this example is, and He's calling His disciples, all who follow after Him, to do likewise and to sow that seed. Well, the gospel message is the seed. So Jesus is the sower. The gospel message is the seed. And just as the seed is sown, as the farmer picks up a handful and tosses it into the field, so too the gospel message is to be spread as that message is proclaimed. If you watch what the farmer did, he takes a whole handful and he throws it out. He just throws it out and he keeps throwing it out. And there's a lot of seed that's being thrown out. And so it's not just a little bit of seed, but the idea is that it's a continual thing. He's going through the field, handful after handful after handful, throwing out that seed. That seed is the gospel. And that's what the disciples are called to do as well. Now, the hearts of the people who hear the gospel are the soil. And there are different types of soil. In Matthew 13, verse 19, we see the unresponsive heart, which would be like hard pavement. Be like going out to the sidewalk and sowing your seed there. It's not going to grow. And the one with the unresponsive heart avoids listening to the message if at all possible, and immediately rejects any of the message that does get through for whatever reason to him or her. In verses 20 and 21, we see the impulsive hearer. The rock, the seed sown on the rocky ground. So the rocky ground represents the impulsive hearer. And it's like the rocky soil. It may allow the seed to start growing, but doesn't have enough depth for the roots. So there's no place for the roots to grow down into and take hold and get nourishment and water and so on, so that the plant will continue to grow. And so the impulsive hearer, they may see an immediate effect. They may get really excited by the message. Here's something new and different. This is exciting. And they show a lot of excitement right at the start. But when that initial excitement wears off or trials or troubles come, that person goes back to their old former ways. You have probably seen that happen in various cases. I know I have. In verse 22, we see the preoccupied hearer. It's like the soil with so much growing in it, it can't support any more. And so the seed is tossed in with the thorns and the various other bushes and so on. There's nothing left for it to be nourished by. And this is a person with so many things going on in life that there isn't time or space in life for anything else, like the gospel, or turning to Christ, or turning away from some of those wonderful things, at least in their idea of what wonderful things are, to turn to something so radically different. And that's a very common problem in our modern world. And as you go out and you spread that gospel and sow the seed, you're going to find a lot of the people that you speak to are just too busy to hear or listen or pay attention to what you have to say, and definitely will feel too busy to be bothered changing their lives. Too many things going on, too much to do. We can't back away from that. And then in verse 24, we see the hearer with a responsive, well-prepared heart. One who has been chosen by God to receive the blessing of salvation through the work of Christ. And we read about that in Ephesians chapter 1. And we read there, blessed, beginning with verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which is set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. And so, as you have been blessed with that great blessing of being chosen of God, He opened your heart then to understand these mysteries of the parables that those who do not know Christ don't understand at all. This one is one who has been given a new life by the Spirit of God. And we read about that in John chapter 3. And you remember Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and in verse 3, Jesus answered him as he asked him about himself and who he was and what was going on. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He cannot see the kingdom of God. But if he's born again, his mysteries are made open to him. And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And so that's the heart that has been opened to hear and to respond in faith. That good soil that the seed is thrown to and where it germinates and grows. But what does this parable teach us? Why do people respond to the gospel the way they do? Well, the response to the hearing of the gospel depends on the condition of the heart, as we've just talked about. The gospel may fall on deaf ears and blind eyes. Unless God prepares a person's heart to hear by granting that new birth, the gospel message will not be received and will not be believed. In verse 11 there, Jesus speaks and he says, "And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" And the word that's translated "has been given" or "has not been given" is uses a tense in Greek that indicates a present state resulting from a past action. And so right now, because of what God has done, because of God's sovereign election, some know, and some can hear, and some cannot. Because what God has done, that's the way it is. And it points very clearly to the sovereignty of God and salvation. And if you look at Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10, which we've read many times, and I encourage you once again to memorize, it speaks very clearly of where we came from and what God has done. Because of the sin of Adam, which we all inherit from him, we are all born with hearts that are naturally in rebellion against God. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. That's the way we come into the world. We inherit that from Adam. God must change our sinful hearts and grant us the ability to see and hear the truth about our spiritual deadness and our need for a Savior to deliver us from our sin, if we're ever to understand and believe the gospel message. It's by grace you're saved, through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. God in His grace grants that gift of new life, that gift of faith, that gift of the ability to understand the Word of God and to see our need of salvation, and to come and turn to Christ. God in His sovereign plan for His creation allows some to remain dead in sin, and for the hardness of their hearts to keep them from understanding or even wanting to understand the gospel message. And it's important, it's very important to understand where we come from when we think about something like this. If we come from the perspective that man is basically good, then God is unjust in condemning any. But if we come from the perspective which is taught to us in Ephesians 2, that we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins, then God is gracious and merciful if He delivers even one from that power and penalty of sin. And so our perspective as we look on that is very important. The prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. The exile of the Old Testament Israel is a type of what's now happening to Christ's enemies. You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. These words are a quote out of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. The word translated "is fulfilled" is a more emphatic verb than usually used. Normally a form would be used that would be translated "might be fulfilled." But here he's saying the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And so it's a direct fulfillment of that. Note the emphasis here too on human responsibility. The Pharisees, the scribes, and their followers had continued to harden their hearts against Christ. It's similar to what happened to Pharaoh when Moses came to him to call upon him to let God's people go out of Egypt. And you can read about that in Exodus chapters 7 to 10. And you see how Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and as his heart was hardened, God hardened his heart even more, that the will of God would be carried out and that God's power would be shown. In verses 11 to 15 of this chapter, we see that the words of the gospel come to their ears, but they refuse to let the truth in. And in verse 12, even this will soon be taken away. What a sad state for those who do not know the Lord. And note the close connection between this passage and what we read in Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32 regarding blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about here. Those whose hearts are hardened, and the Spirit comes and the Word is sown, and they will not hear, and they blaspheme the Spirit who brings that Word of truth. And that condemnation rests upon them. And note that the rejection of the gospel message, Jesus tells us here, comes in several forms. There are those who have a strong, clear rejection of Christ. Satan snatches the seed of the gospel from those with the hardest of hearts, like the birds snatch up the seed that you might put out on your driveway to see if they would grow. And so the seed can't even take root because it's snatched away and eaten by the birds. The Pharisees and the scribes that confronted Jesus were a good example of this. And note that they were the religious leaders of the day. They were like the elders of the church. And think of the condemnation upon those who were leading God's people astray. It's a very sobering responsibility to be an elder in the church of Christ. And then we see the impulsive person. This person may act like a believer and may, in some cases, be the most enthusiastic person in the church for a while. Really excited about the message, and then trials and tribulations come. And they fall away. Things don't go the way they like. And they fall away. They may be overcome with emotion at first and all excited. But then it just doesn't stay, because it did not take root. There was enough to arouse attention and create excitement. There was never enough to take root. And we have the preoccupied person who has so much of the cares of this world in his or her heart that there's no room for the gospel message. And so are so wrapped up in the world, its enticements. We really can't be bothered with something that contradicts the humanism, the hedonism, all the pleasures of life that the world has to offer. And now all of a sudden they're hearing this gospel preached, and some of these things that they really enjoy are being condemned, and they're being called to live a different life, to submit to Christ. Many people want to be the master of their own destiny. That's particularly true in our own land. People don't like someone to tell us what to do, even if it's God. We don't like that. We want to be the master. And so there's no willingness to submit to God through Christ. Well, God in His grace causes that gospel to fall in many, many, many cases on ears ready to hear and believe the message. A heart that has been turned from the hardness and the impulsiveness, the preoccupation with things of this world, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who works to give that new life to that heart that once was dead. Someone who has been given the gift of faith as a free gift of God, and has exercised that faith by trusting in Christ alone for salvation from sin and from its penalty, and is open to hear and respond to the truth. It's one who hears the message of the gospel and responds in faith because he or she wants to, because God has made that heart open and responsive, like that good soil that the seed flourishes in. A person has been given a deep desire by God to hear the good news of deliverance from sin by the sacrifice of Christ. And it's one who puts the message received into practice by first trusting in Christ alone for salvation, and then going forth to bear fruit for Christ by now sowing that seed of the gospel wherever he or she goes. The mysteries of the kingdom are revealed to believers, and believers are made to understand what these parables mean. They can understand them because their hearts have been opened by God. And this parable shows the necessity of total commitment to Christ. We need to not just be here just for the on the surface, just to for a show. And there are some who will go to church to be in church, so to be seen in church, and then go their merry way and live like Christ did not exist the rest of the week. Christ calls us to total commitment. The way Christ advances His kingdom is through the sowing of the seed, and He calls upon His people to sow that seed. And as we sow the seed, then we trust in the Holy Spirit to open the hearts of those God has prepared to believe, to hear that word, to understand it, and to believe it. And we go out and we preach that word to everyone without exception, because we don't know who the Holy Spirit will give that new life to and that faith to. And so we don't stop because someone seems like, oh, that person, I doubt that person would want to hear this. No, we preach the gospel to every creature, and we trust in God to open the hearts. And that's how Christ advances His kingdom. And that's what we should expect to see as we go forth as His servants. Let us trust in Him, and let us be faithful in doing that work He has called us to do. Let us commit ourselves to Christ. Let us commit ourselves to the work of sowing that seed. Your life is a living witness. Your words that flow from that life are a living witness that you belong to Christ. And may He bless that word as it goes forth And we see that happening. What a joy it is to see the gospel going throughout the world. And we hear the reports from Sudan. And we see 1,800 there have come to Christ in that new church that's just started. And we see 20,000 in China. And we see people all over. We see people, and we should be praying that we would see thousands here. Right here. In Monroe County and all the surrounding counties. May God use us in that great work of sowing His seed. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we see from Your Word how You are the sower, and You call Your disciples to continue that work of sowing Your seed, of proclaiming the truth of Your gospel. And we pray, Lord, that You would grant us zeal for that work, that the truth of Your gospel would go forth right here in this community, that You would bring people from this community into Your church right here, and that You would bless us as we reach out to them. Bless us as we reach out to people in the other communities where we all live. Oh Lord, that Your Word would go forth boldly and faithfully. And then bless Your Word as it goes forth throughout the world. And we give You thanks for the way that's happening. We thank You, Lord, that You prepare hearts to hear. And that it's not our responsibility to give that new life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's our responsibility to proclaim the truth clearly and to trust in You to open the hearts of those with whom we speak. And so, help us, O God, to be diligent and faithful in that work. And forgive us where we haven't been. Give us zeal for Your kingdom, we pray through Christ. Amen.